Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Welcome back, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, we have some May tips to share with you this month, but first we have to take a few calendar events off of our schedule here. Happening Sundays at the Mountain View Market Co-op, you'll be able to catch the Growers Market. They feature fresh produce, locally roasted coffee. They also sell water-wise, desert plants, and more on Sundays at the Mountain View Market in Las Cruces. Also, the Mountain View Market will be hosting a container gardening workshop later in the month on Monday, May the 20th. You can actually start growing some of the food without the use of an actual garden. Really good for people who maybe live in an apartment and they don't have a lot of open space. We actually got a call last week, Denise, about a lady who had a little pine tree in her
containers
because she couldn't put anything in her yard. So this is a great thing to attend to learn a little bit more about container gardening. There is a cost associated with the workshop. Again, it's happening on Monday, May the 20th. And then on June the 1st, the Mountain View Market Co-op is hosting a water harvesting and irrigation workshop. Again, that's Saturday, June the 1st in Las Cruces. I have all the information on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And Denise, you are going to be hosting a workshop next week at Escarata Park.
Sure, and that's Thursday, May the 16th at 10 a.m. We're going to be at the Escarate Park, and we'll be talking about low-maintenance landscape tips. And it's really going on the earth-kind principles, which is an A&M coined term, but it's a xeriscape principles. And it's really a great training for homeowners that want to become better stewards of their environment. Maybe they don't really know how to approach that. And a lot of times people that have lived here for a while, they understand what our watering restrictions are and things that we need to do to conserve water. But I think a lot of people are newly transplanted to the area. Sometimes they come from areas that are very nice, lush and green, and they don't understand how can we have a beautiful landscape without looking like something out of a garden catalog, maybe in New England.
That's right.
So we're going to be able to have some hands-on portions on that and to see what it is we're talking about when we say mulch and compost and things like that, really applicable for homeowners. So I encourage you all to attend. It is limited to the first 30 participants. Visit us out there, and I'll be heading that workshop.
And that workshop, again, is next Thursday, the 16th of May. It begins at 10 a.m.
That's right. And this weather's nice, too, so it'd be really nice to be under the shade of the canopies out there.
That's right. And we need to point out that low maintenance isn't no maintenance and doesn't mean all rocks. It doesn't mean pull everything out of your yard. I know a lot of people who may not want to do a lot of yard work. They kind of lean into that no maintenance yard where they either just completely put rock all over their landscape with maybe a little tree in there, or they concrete it over. But this is a way that people can take advantage of native landscaping while yet keeping the maintenance relatively low.
Right, exactly. There's really a balance that you have to do, incorporate your hardscapes and preparing your land so that you can have a lower maintenance lawn out there. A lot of us are really busy at times, and we have a really good intention to put in our new spring gardens when things are warming up and there's beautiful things out in the nursery. But then reality sets in and you have to go to work and go to school, or you want to go on vacation. And you want to make sure that, you know, your weeds don't get away from you and things like that, because the last thing you want to do is have to put on a necessary amount of chemicals. Mm-hmm. So it's really a holistic avenue to really pursue on that. You have to really look at the end when you start in the beginning to plan any type of landscape and even converting a traditional landscape into more of a xeriscape or a native plant landscape for your home garden.
So is there a cost associated with the workshop?
Yes, there is a cost associated with that workshop. It is $10 per person.
And registration?
Registration, you can go to the Good to Grow link and you'll be able to go in there and fill out that form for registration.
So. All right. All that information that we just mentioned on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, let's get down to some May gardening tips, because things are really picking up this month as far as gardening activity. And Denise, what do you think is the first thing we really need to sort of keep in the forefront for May gardening activities?
Weeds in your grass. We had a strange spring this year. We had a nice warming trend, and then all of a sudden the winds kicked up. We had cold fronts coming in, and I don't know. Those weeds are really, really will take advantage of you and run you over. So really look into and be proactive as far as how to treat these weeds on that. There's a lot of chemicals out there that are weed and feed combinations on that. You want to make sure that you read those carefully. Make sure that you apply it as directed. Sometimes plants do get this pesticide if you put in a herbicide very close to maybe a broadleaf plant.
Yeah, so don't apply during windy days.
Well, windy days. Right. It's a little late for the pre-emergent now, so you're going to have to deal with the direct herbicide. So just be real careful with it. Wind is probably one of the biggest culprits that cause problems on that. But follow the directions on the container.
And, of course, the non-chemical way to do it is just getting out there and yanking out those weeds by hand.
Yeah.
And especially if it hasn't rained or you haven't been able to sort of soak down your lawn a little bit to make those weeds easier to pull out, I would recommend maybe getting a spade of some sort just to help sort of loosen the dirt around there so you can pull out that
exactly.
Root.
That's always a last resort, but it's a good last resort because it always does work. So it just takes a little bit more labor, and but it does work. A lot of weeds are very difficult to get rid of. Removal by hand is the final best way.
To me, it almost is cosmetically better because, I mean, if you're going to spray a weed in your yard or you're spraying a bunch of weeds, you're just going to have a bunch of dead weeds in your yard as opposed to live weeds. Granted, those weeds aren't going to grow, but they're not going to look so nice.
Yeah, you still have to come back and scoop them up. What I like is those hand cultivators that are full size, almost like a broom handle, and the end has a cultivator part, so it doesn't mess up your back or you don't have to bend over into your garden all the time. So I really like those. I think they're really user friendly, and it's that therapeutic edge to it that you actually physically remove the weed instead of just spraying it and walking away.
And don't just throw those weeds you've pulled out into your yard. Actually dispose of them, right? Because they might actually have seeds on them. Then you're actually doing a better job of dispersing those weeds than they probably would have ever hoped for.
Right, right. And from my personal experience, the spurge is a big problem.
Oh,
it has appeared already this year. And the best thing is get it as little as possible, because they multiply very, very rapidly. And be sure to dispose of those properly, because if you just throw them down in the ground, they will, like you say, spreading the seed. So get rid of those.
And that taproot on that spurge is so long. You can have a little tiny plant and, you know, that 6-inch taproot on there. So that's amazing.
Well, I've even been after my spurge that, it's just teeny, like the head of a pin. I'm getting them so small.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've winning the battle at this point.
Right.
But they're really insidious, too, because they camouflage themselves very well in your grass, among your rock landscape. So you got to sort of get down there and look really close to make sure.
Right. We had an interesting call last week. We had one lady that called in and says, I have buffalo grass in my yard and I want to get rid of it. And I said, well, how do you know it's buffalo grass? Well, I mean, isn't everything buffalo grass? and so we determined it probably wasn't buffalo grass. But then the next call came in and says, how do I plant buffalo grass?
Call up this lady.
Go to this person's house. It was really ironic because the calls came in within hours of each other.
Something must have been trending on the internet about buffalo grass.
That's what I was thinking too.
I mean, is this a good time to actually to put sod in your yard?
Well, I think we need to look at, first of all, when anybody ever wants to put grass or sod in, it's always what purpose is that going to serve? With our situation right now, with our drought that we are in, that we don't see any end in sight on that, it's really a time for somebody to really contemplate and plan what they want to get out of their landscape. We've been fortunate. It's been, to answer your question, Norma, actually, it's been a little cool this springtime. So if anybody is planning to put in sod, they got to put it in soon, because that window of the cool, breezy weather is very short-lived. It's going to get very hot and very dry here shortly. So, definitely look to see what you want to do as far as planting any kind of sod in your garden.
Right. I agree. Just check with our wholesale nursery sod farm here, Gardener Turf Farm out in Santa Teresa, or check with the big box stores, the ones that bring in shipments. They usually bring them in on Thursdays and Fridays and sell them over the weekend. Find out what they have scheduled to come in. That's where your choice comes in.
And if you are trying to conserve water, if you've just put in a some sod, you are going to be watering nearly every day. You have to get a
special permit.
Yes, a special permit from the water utilities in order to do that extra watering, and that is not good for our water supply.
Right, exactly.
Grass is a nice thing to have, but I think the recommendation is to keep it to an absolute minimum.
Right.
Then once it starts to grow, you have to mow it again. Then you have to fertilize it, and then you have to water it, and then you have to mow it.
Right, exactly. And if you're not going to really use your lawn or trample over it or have pets or children, there's a lot of nice ground covers out there that'll provide that same effect, you know, that low growing, but yet not have to have that maintenance that Bill talks about. Oh.
I'm also thinking maybe you can convert a little bit of that into maybe a vegetable garden. I know it's not going to be very good for water conservation because vegetables do need that water, but at least you're going to be actually reaping something from your soil. So it might not be a bad idea to do either. Well, what else do we need to be thinking about this month?
One of the things on our list here is that it's time to look at the fruit trees. They should have budded out already, and there should be you should have quite a few small little apricots or plums or peaches, and it's time to thin those. And our instructions call for give 5 to 6 inches between each of those fruit.
Is this already when the flowers have turned into fruit or while they're still in bloom?
When they're smaller, they're much easier to remove from the tree. And really, you're kind of protecting your harvest and your yield, because then you're going to end up at the end of the season with a lot of small fruit, like peaches. And really, if you're going to expend these resources that the plant is converting this energy into making this fruit, you want to make sure that you have that nice big fruit that you can actually benefit from instead of a really small crop.
Exactly.
They don't mature very nicely, and it just really poor quality.
Right.
So
you get larger fruit with better quality, fewer of them, but it's very important. And I like to send people out to their fruit trees now because, you know, if they see any disease or see any insects, they can notice them too. So get out there and thin those fruit out. It's a great time for that.
Well, what else do we need to be thinking about this month?
Well, we've done a lot with the roses. A lot of roses have already been blooming. It's time to deadhead the roses, but there are a lot of other plants that have already bloomed. You know, you can actually prune those back to promote additional growth also.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of there's some evergreens like the privets, Bill, and, you know, they don't do anything. They're evergreen. Right. They're a great backdrop for other plants. But sometimes if you give those a little trim, then you encourage the flowering
on that.
And they have some little nice little white blooms on there. And then if you're lucky, you'll get some little purple berries on there. Right. So I think it's always kind of nice to kind of give them a little trim and a little haircut. Kind of keeps them, you know, keeps them in shape and really encourages other lateral growth on there too.
Well, as an example of Japonica, they sometimes get a one main growth that's just awkward.
Right.
It doesn't stay the shape as the rest of the plant, and that would be a good time to prune that back.
Well, we're out of time for our May tips for today, but we still never even got a chance to touch upon fertilizing and a whole lot of other things that we need to talk about. So I think we need to come back next week for another May Tips show. You can listen to this and some of our past shows at ktep.org. You can also learn about some of the events we were talking about earlier in the show at ktep.org on the Good to Grow page. I'm Norma Martinez. Thanks so much for listening today.
I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.